took us to a passage that had Jesus in the upper room with his disciples. At the very end, just before going to the cross, earlier he had given them the message about the great commandment when they had asked, he was asked, of all the commands, of all the 600 plus commands in the Old Testament, which one's the greatest? And Jesus had said, well, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. In other words, the primary way that you show love for God, and this is kind of a review of last time, the primary way you show love for God is by loving the person in front of you. Not by going to church, not by keeping a list of laws, but by loving the neighbor in front of you. He got to the new commandment there in that upper room, and he actually took the directive for Christian living and what would be the ethic for Christians for the rest of time to a whole new level. If you get your bulletin inserts out, I'd like for you to follow along. The new commandment, we're going to start right out with number one on the bulletin. The new commandment, love like Jesus. The new commandment was this. He told the disciples that evening, a new command I give you, love one another. And here it is, the key to the whole thing. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. We're going to talk a lot about that again this morning. This, as I have loved you. By this, if you will go and love others as I have loved you, when you love them in that way, then by this all men, all the world will know that you are truly my disciples if you love one another as I have loved you. And friends, with those words, Jesus lays down for us a huge challenge. Because this goes against everything in our flesh to love other people the way that Jesus loves us and loved us. It takes the golden rule. Think about this. We all kind of grew up with the golden rule, which is kind of based upon the great commandment to love your neighbor as yourself. The great commandment or the golden rule is to treat others the way you want to be treated or something of that nature. And Jesus says, no, 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 no. That standard is too low for my followers. It's not simply to treat others the way you want to be treated, but the new rule for Christians, the just as rule, the just as I have loved you rule says, love other people, not as you want them to love you back, but as I, Jesus, have loved you. That's now the standard. And it takes it and it raises the bar for how we are to love in Jesus' name. Because after Jesus made this statement, as I have loved you, what did he do after the upper room? He went to the cross. He went to the cross to demonstrate this new kind of love, this new level of love that we are now to emulate. He goes to the cross to suffer the death penalty on our behalf because we just sang about sin and how God's love and grace is more than all of our sin. And that was what was happening on the cross. Christ did not go to the cross for us out of an emotional feeling. And he didn't go to the cross for us out of a sense of sentimentality. He chose to look at us in our sinful rebelliousness against him. I talked a lot about this to the kids this week at camp. Junior hires, think about this. What is sin? We talk and use that word a lot. Well, sin isn't just some light, fluffy thing. Sin is us shaking our fist at God and saying and rebelling against God and saying, God, I don't want you over my life. I want to be in charge of my own life. I don't want to serve you. I don't want to follow you. I'll use you, God, to get what I want. But other than that, I want to be my own God. That is the essence of sin. It's rebelliousness. And Jesus looked down upon us in that state and said, doesn't matter. I'm going to choose to come in and step in and take the penalty that you deserved. I'm going to die for you, a sacrificial death. And that becomes the standard that Christ then calls us to. He gives us the definition and example of love. It is sacrifice. So think about that. What does, if Christ sacrificed his life for us, and that's how he showed his love, and now he tells each of us as Christ followers, I want you basically to go and love other people that same way. What does sacrificial love look like for us? Well, it's going to require some things. It's going to require that we die to putting ourselves first. Think about just everyday life situations. If you're going to love like Jesus, it means in situations in life, you can't go around demanding that you get your own way. You can't demand that you go first and other people go second. Sacrificing your life means you put others before yourself. You put others first. Jesus put it this way, if anyone would come after me, if anyone wants to be my follower, he must deny himself, his preferences, his priorities. He must deny himself. He must pick up his cross daily and follow me. That's the picture of the just as Jesus love and how I am to serve. You should ask this question in of yourself. How can I use the other person? How can I get what I want in this situation? But rather, how can I serve? How can I bless? How can I help? How can I protect this person that's before me in any situation in a way that is for their best? And so that's the great commandment. That's just kind of a review of where we've been. Now, after the cross, after the death and resurrection of Jesus, he completed that sacrificial death. He went back to be with the Father in heaven. And another key figure stepped into the scene. A guy named Saul, who was a Christian hater. Maybe you know the story. He was a Jewish Pharisee, and he was a law keeper from the Old Covenant ways. We talked a lot about the Old Covenant. And he was on his way to arrest some more Christians. And he had a vision, a blinding vision, and he was converted from Saul the Christian hater to Paul the Christian missionary, the one who went out and began to share the good news about Jesus Christ and his love. He had an encounter with the risen Christ, and he became a missionary, the first real missionary, and he became God's primary instrument for putting Jesus' teachings into practice. As you may know, Paul wrote most of our New Testament, and sprinkled throughout the teachings of Paul, when we get to kind of the letters of the New Testament, we have a series of commands. They're not like the Old Testament commands, keep the law. They are love one another commands. What Paul does, and this is kind of where we're going to be heading in the weeks to come, what Paul does is he takes the great command of Jesus to love others as I have loved you, and Paul begins to apply it in all kinds of different ways. What does Christ's love look like coming through us to other people? Number two on your outline, living the just as life, meaning the just as Jesus loved us. What does that look like? Well, here is a prime example from Paul. Ephesians 4, 31 and 32. Paul writes to these Christians, a local church full of Christians, with these words, get rid of all bitterness in your relationships. Get rid of bitterness. Get rid of rage and anger. Get rid of brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Get rid of all of that. Instead, verse 32, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other. Why, Paul? Why do we need to get rid of bitterness? And why do we need to be full of kindness and compassion and forgiveness? Why, Paul? Is it because the Bible tells us to do that? Is it because the old covenant commanded us to do that? And the answer is no. The reason Paul says is, just as in Christ, God forgave you. So I'm hoping this is beginning to sink into your minds, that the motivating factor for Christian living isn't the old covenant commands, and it isn't because the Bible tells me so. It is because the person of Jesus Christ died for you, and now He tells us, you go and love each other the way I have loved you. And that's going to require getting rid of things like bitterness. Because bitterness just means somebody did something against me, and rather than forgive them, I decided to hold a grudge. And that grudge got down into my soul, and pretty soon it became rage. You know, because that's what bitterness does when you shove it down, and it poisons your soul, right? And then that's all you can think about. And then you become angry, and you become a rager. And if you keep letting it go, it starts to come out. What's shoved down on the inside becomes brawling and slander. Yeah, I mean, sometimes it physically leads to altercations. Other times, slander, it leads to words that come out of your mouth that are slanderous towards other people. And it all comes out of a bitterness. He says, don't live that way. That's not Christian love in action. That's not how we are to love one another. You are to show kindness and compassion to one another, forgiving each other. And again, the standard is this, just as in Christ God forgave you. We can, as Christians, choose to live a life of forgiving others because we've been forgiven. And maybe you struggle with this because you don't think you've been forgiven for that much. What's the big deal? I did a few wrong things. I did a few bad things. No. All of our sin is against us, and Christ died for it all. Christ is our model. Paul continues in the next few verses. He doesn't stop there. In case we didn't get it the first time, go to Ephesians 5, 1 and 2, the next verses in the Scriptures, right after the ones we just read. He says this, again, to Christians, be imitators of God. Don't just live the way you've always lived before. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children. You've been loved by God. Now imitate God and live a life of love. Another translation puts it this way. Walk now in the way of love, since you've been so loved by God. And why do this? Here we see it again. Just as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. There's that just as again. We are to love and imitate God just as Christ did it for us. That's the challenge. That is the calling of the Christian life. You may think of that phrase, especially some of us guys, walk in the way of love. Come on, Pastor Mike, you're getting soft on us. You want us to walk in love. Oh, isn't that sound so beautiful? Well, we have to remember that, you know, kind of sounds, you know, soft. Well, we have to remember when Christ walked in love, it led Him to the cross. It led Him to be crucified. It led to a bloody, gruesome crucifixion. That was Him walking in love. And that is the call He has for us. If you would do a study of Paul's one another commands, and we are going to actually spend some weeks this summer unpacking some of these, answering the question, a simple question, what does Christ-like love look like? Well, He gives us a series of commands that are kind of sprinkled throughout His letters. So when you think of, well, what does love look like? Try on some of these words. He says, forgive one another as Christ forgave you. Sometimes, in certain situations, love looks like forgiveness. And that is not easy, but it is a choice that we can make. Rather than hold a grudge, rather than hold it inside against the other person, I choose to forgive because Christ forgave me. Encourage one another, the scripture says. Encourage one another. Sometimes love looks like I see somebody that's down. I see somebody that's struggling. I see somebody that's just being overwhelmed by life. And God wants me to go to that person and speak or do something that would give encouragement to their hearts, to their lives. Encourage one another. Scripture says, bear patiently with one another. Sometimes love looks like patience. Man, we're in such a hurry, and we got stuff to do and things to get done, and people are in our way, and people are slowing us down. And sometimes love just looks like slowing down and turning towards that person with patience. That's what they need from us. Bear with one another. Show compassion to one another is another one of the commands that Paul gives. Show compassion. Sometimes we're dealing with the situation and our hearts can grow hard towards other people. And God says, let your heart be soft towards others that are going through a difficult time. Try to put yourself out of your shoes and into their shoes and understand and try to think about what it would be like to go through what they're going through, and let your heart be filled with compassion, and let that compassion move you to action. Sometimes that's what love looks like. It says to be devoted to one another in love. This is where there's times when we just need to turn towards our brother and our sister in Christ and show a level of devotion that, listen, I'm committed to you. I'm with you through all that you're going through. I am devoted to you. I'm not going anywhere. Sometimes that's what love looks like. And we're going to be kind of working through some of these one another's in the weeks to come. But Paul, I think, sums it up in this last passage that we're going to look at this morning in his letter to the Galatians. He puts it all in a startling way. In case we think there's any margin for error, number 3 on your outline, he says this, the only thing that counts, this is down to the bottom line, the only thing that counts, Paul says, is faith expressing itself through love. Faith expressed through love. Look at Galatians 5:6, where Paul kind of unpacks this thought. He says, for in Christ Jesus, he's talking to, again, a group of people who kind of caught up in the old covenant. He says, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. In other words, that stuff that's, the circumcision was the mark of the old covenant, the Old Testament. We've talked a lot about that in weeks past. I'm not going to go back all through that. But Paul was saying, listen, that's all done now. The old covenant, it's obsolete. Christ has established with us a new covenant, and circumcision, uncircumcision, that doesn't count for anything. What counts? The only thing that counts, the mark of the new covenant, if you are a Christian, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. This is the defining characteristic of the new covenant. It's faith expressing itself through love. This is to be what we are known for as New Covenant Christians. Now, some people have a form of faith that is faith that is expressed as, that isn't attached to love. It's just faith by itself. And that usually leads to legalism. Well, I have faith. I show my faith by going to church. I show my faith by keeping the rules. Well, Paul is saying that's not good enough. You need to show your faith and express it through acts of love. The only thing that counts is faith, trusting in God, but not just trusting in God to get me through the day, but trusting in God by doing loving acts for other people and toward other people. Paul says that's the only thing that counts. So I want to end this morning number four, with a question I actually ended with last week, and we're going to continue to end our messages with this question. This is the question to live by, the guiding question. What does Christ-like love require of me in any given situation? If that's the standard, if that's what God has called us to as Christians, the question I got to ask tomorrow at work, the question I got to ask the next time I have a confrontation with somebody, and or somebody disappoints me, or somebody says words or does an action that offends me, the question is, what does love look like right now in this situation? I'm telling you guys, if we could get into the discipline and the habit and the practice of asking ourselves that question, we would really begin to live out our faith in ways that are irresistible. When somebody has hurt me with words or action, when we see a world full of oppressive poverty, what does love require? When I know that I have a family member or a friend who does not yet know the forgiveness of God through Jesus Christ, what does love require of me? Do I keep my mouth shut or do I go and share the good news? When I have a friend or a family member that's discouraged and they feel like giving up, what does love require of me? Do I keep my distance and not get involved? Or do I be present to that person? When somebody rubs me the wrong way, they have a personality that gets under my skin, drives me a little bit crazy. Anybody have anybody like that in their life? I'm probably that person for a lot of you. I don't know. But the question is, what does love require of me when I deal with different situations? It's going to cost me something. Don't miss this. It's going to cost you. It's going to cost you. Sometimes it's going to cost you time. You're going to have to give up some of your precious time to show love to somebody else. Sometimes it's going to cost you your pride. You're going to have to swallow your pride and say, not me first, but the other person first. Sometimes that's what love requires. Sometimes it's going to cost you money. It's going to cost you sacrifice because you're going to need to sacrificially give towards somebody that's in need to show love. Sometimes it means sacrificing your preferences and your interests for the preferences and interests of other people. That's what love looks like. So as I close this morning, I was trying to think of a way to just give you one other illustration. And as you guys know, in addition to being a pastor here, I am also a track and field coach at Roosevelt Middle School. And I think we've done this before, but one of the things we do are relay races. And the rules of a relay race are that one person usually they run a lap, and then they have to hand this baton off to the next person, and that happens four times. Four different runners run a lap. And there's a zone, and you have to pass the baton in between a zone. And if you're outside the zone when you're passed, you're disqualified. Or if you drop the baton in a race, you're disqualified. I was just watching this last week, the NCAA girls' national championships on TV, and it came down to the last race, and USC and Arkansas were 1 and 2. All USC had to do was beat Arkansas in the race, and they won, and they were ahead, and they were winning, and the girl from USC was running with the baton, and it was a pack of girls that were real close together, and she inadvertently hit the baton on the leg of the person next to her, and the baton fell out. Disqualified, cost them the national championship. Now, here's how this works. Jesus says, I love you so much in your sin, even though you rebelled against me, even though you did not earn or deserve my love, I made the choice to come and die in your place, to save you from sin, to rescue you, that you might be saved and that you might know and experience the love of God Now, Christian, I am handing the baton off to you. And now it is your job. It's your lap. It's your time. Now you are to go in my name and you are to demonstrate and live out this radical, self-sacrificing kind of love in all of its different forms. And it's only by this, as you do this, as you make this hard choice day by day by day, situation by situation by situation, dying to yourself and putting other people first and asking the question, what does love look like right now? Because my flesh feels like blowing my stack. My flesh feels like being impatient. My flesh feels like being selfish and demanding what I want. But instead, I'm going to die to that. I'm going to say no to that. And I'm going to say, Jesus, show me how to love this person that's right before me right now. I don't feel like loving them. Maybe I don't want to love them. But God, I can choose in Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. We sang earlier, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Well, what does that mean if it doesn't mean, Holy Spirit, help me to love this person. Help me to understand how to love this person in your name, for your glory. And back to the new commandment, Jesus says, this is the only way people are ever going to really know that you're my followers. You can talk all you want. You can say all the words you want. You can gather and have worship services and do all that kind of stuff. But they're only going to really know you are my followers if you show them my love. Don't drop the baton on your leg, on your turn, in your life. But hold on to it and run that race for the glory of God. Let's pray together. Father, this is so counterintuitive to our flesh. I don't think sometimes I realize just how subtle and yet strong my flesh is. How much I really just want my way. And how much it irritates me when people get in my way. And it's like I'm living my life for myself. Lord, forgive us when we do that. Forgive me when I do that. Jesus has called us to a whole different path. Not living for self, but dying to self. Just like Jesus died for us. And then what actually happens is when we die to our own desires and putting self first, we actually become more alive than ever. We actually become instruments of your love, which was what we were created for. And Lord God, there is nothing more satisfying, nothing more invigorating than loving other people with your love. It costs us something, and it's not easy to do, and we don't always feel like doing it. But God, your Holy Spirit comes in and changes our heart and gives us the strength. And if we will cooperate, if we will choose, Lord, you will guide us how to love in every situation. As we sit here this morning, every single one of us are facing situations, relationships, right here today. And we're right in the middle of it. And we're kind of struggling or we're not doing it in a way that honors you. And we just need to stop and say, God, what does love, what does just as Jesus kind of love require of me right now? God, show me. And then give me the strength to do it and give me the courage to follow through. Oh God, that we might at Idaville First Church of God be known as a people who love well, who love one another within the church well. We treat each other with respect, with honor, with compassion, with patience. And then we go out and we love people that are out in our world the same way. Oh God, help us to love as you have loved us. And maybe, God, when we get away from that, maybe we just need to sit down and meditate and think and pray again about how much you love us and have loved us through Christ to get back on our path. Lord, do your work through us. Better, Lord, love with your love through us in the days to come. We pray these things in Jesus' name today. Amen.